business owner? Entrepreneur? Want to learn how online marketing can improve your business?
Your questions. Our advice.
This is Not a Real Job.
Welcome to Not a Real Job, episode 15, our podcast for small business owners, entrepreneurs, artists, everyone who wants to learn a little bit more about their online marketing. I am Joel Kelly, and I do social media strategy for travel and tourism brands up in Nova Scotia, Canada.
And I am Chris Van Patten, and I make websites and web products for people of all shapes and sizes in New York City.
All right. So I am just back from a week of crazy traveling for work. So I guess to start off is that I'm really tired, and I apologize for our listeners if that's evident. And also, we're going to be recording two episodes. So I think we're going to try to, and I'm just telling Chris this now, really try to awkwardly transition at the end of this episode into the next topic so that if you listen to them back to back, it's going to sound super cool.
Are we going to do that?
No.
Is that actually a thing?
No, absolutely not. Wouldn't that be crazy, though, if you started listening to like a podcast and you start at the beginning and just like listen to three in a row and realize that some podcast that's had like 100 episodes has been making them like continuous, like there's some crazy continuity throughout it? That would be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool.
We're not going to do that, though.
No, we don't care enough.
I wonder how you could do that. Now I'm going to think about that. Anyway.
Anywho. So you were sort of heads down in meetings all week. I mean, yeah. In beautiful paradise.
Oh, yeah. That's the great thing about working in travel is that when I have to go away for meetings, there are two amazing, beautiful places.
Yeah. They treat you well.
Mm.
But a question that I've had recently. So I can tell you all about tracking and managing websites and all and the software that goes into that. But I'm curious. I just use Hootsuite, but you dealing with these very large brands, like some of them are international brands, like huge names that mm-hmm. people should be able to recognize. What kind of software do you use on a day-to-day basis? How do you integrate all these tools? And I guess just what is your process like on a technical basis?
You know, that's what's very interesting. And that's what sets, I think, us apart from a lot of social media. And I'm putting that in quotes that you can't see. A lot of social media experts out there do is really focus on the tools. We are the most in all of the work we do. So our firm does online marketing from website development, app development, SEO, SEM. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're fierce competitors. And social media is a part of that. And everything we do, we're very much technology agnostic. We use several different CMSs when building websites, depending on the client need. We use different processes for, you know, doing search engine marketing and SEO. Like, and then the same thing with social media for us. Of course, we have a process that we try to stick to for efficiency's sake. But for as far as technology goes, we don't really worry about it too much. We do almost everything manually, and it kind of surprises clients. Like if you see a post from one of our clients on a Saturday night, if that post was scheduled, it was probably only scheduled at the end of day Friday at the very, you know, earliest. And it was possibly scheduled when one of the people on my team had time that Saturday morning. So we do most things manually, and we use Google Docs for almost everything we do as well. You know, it's funny if you know, we do websites for giant, internationally recognizable, you know, travel and tourism brands. But when we're doing the analytics for them, we just use Google Analytics. You don't need to use anything else. If a web vendor came to you and said, you know, we don't believe that Google Analytics is sufficient, so we use all this insanely expensive, you know, $20,000 a month licensing analytics platforms, you'd know that they're full of crap because that's unnecessary. And it's the same thing with social media. If someone comes at you with a bunch of tools, they probably don't know what they're talking about. I don't talk about tools really at all when I'm in initial meetings with clients. We get into that when it's time to actually start working and start running reports. As far as the different tools that, you know, we will use often is we do use Radian 6 for a number of our clients to track trends and find mentions that we may miss if we're just doing manual searches. And that's also good for share of voice, kind of the vanity charts the clients really like to see. Like, we have one client who loves the chart that we pulled through Visible Intelligence, another monitoring platform, that shows that their online share of voice since we started working with them on social media just dwarfs their competition. They are there in their competitive set the insane leader by far of the number of positive mentions of their brand online. You know, coming from basically the bottom, we've taken them to the top. And like, that's a fun chart, but it doesn't really tell me anything useful, because I'm not going to stop posting now that we're, you know, the best, but it makes them feel good. So the tools don't really matter that much to me. We also, like I said, we use Visible Intelligence. Revenate is a service that you can subscribe to that'll tell you when, you know, your property, say your resort or your hotel, gets reviewed on TripAdvisor or someone, you know, in its competitive set does. You can pay attention to that. That can be useful. We do use Hootsuite for scheduling posts on Twitter. Most of our clients are set up that way for scheduling. And we do some basic analytics to that as well. And every week, every client gets, you know, a pretty brief report on everything. But our reporting when it comes to engagement, like how many likes a post got, how many shares, how many comments, and how many people click the link, we do entirely manually, and we put that data into a Google Drive spreadsheet. Wow. I think, yeah, I that's a firm belief of mine that if it can be done manually, we do it manually. It keeps the people on my team much closer to the numbers. So it's not one person. The person who posts, you know, on Facebook is also the person that pays attention to the data and records it. And that's very, very important to me, that we don't just have a service or someone who just handles the reporting pulling that. If you're actually typing out the tweet, you also need to know how it performs so you can do better next time or do more of the same if it does really well.
I love that, that holding accountability in a sense.
Exactly.
So you're big on Google Drive. What kinds of things are you putting in there? I mean, you just mentioned that you're tracking those, the status of posts and how well they do. Do you have shared content strategy anywhere? Yeah. Do you
exactly? So the first document we do is a very basic content document. So this can even be during the pitch process, or it's usually we wouldn't do this until we won the business. But sometimes you need to show example content. Most of we very rarely pitch. Almost all our business comes from referrals, so we don't have to do this too often. But this is usually the thing we do immediately, which is write up a bunch of different pieces of content. When I do, when I kind of outline how the social media strategy is going to go, I propose, you know, 4 to 6 types of content. So for a resort, the types of content would be in-market advertising, offers, packages, deals, you know, golf. If it's a golf resort, we're going to do lots of posts on golf. If there's a lot of spa stuff, we're also going to talk about that, you know, dining and nightlife, etc. The different types of content you want to talk about. So we organize a spreadsheet with those headings, and then we just start writing content. Usually writing as if it's going to be posted on Facebook, because that can be adapted for other platforms. And then we just start writing that content. That's on a Google Drive that's shared with the people working on it on my team and also with the client. So they can go in and take a look, suggest ideas. The second thing is a long-term 1-year calendar that we use in a Google Drive. We don't use the Google Calendar for it. It's surprisingly a little easier to manage if you just use a calendar template in Google Drive. And that's where we write down things like upcoming events, holidays, festivals, you know, things like that that we'll want to know about far, far out. And then for some of our clients, we also have a Google Drive that, in fact, just has the content for, say, 2 weeks out. That they can review and leave comments on.
That's cool. And are those documents shared with your clients, or are those mostly for internal use?
Almost all of them are shared with the clients. We do use tons of other documents for our internal use. Like, you know, we have right now a Google Drive spreadsheet with basically every major tourism bureau in the world who's on social media. So we have that, and that's useful for if we're, you know, just kind of spooling up on a new client. It gives us a lot of things to accounts to follow right away. We have a spreadsheet of just luxury brands and luxury travel brands that we'd want to interact with on Twitter and Facebook. So we keep that as a spreadsheet that we can go. There's all that kind of administrative stuff.
But when it and comes we also, down to actually following and all that kind of stuff, you or your team are doing that manually.
Correct.
That's so cool.
It's something that I'm so serious about. And it's kind of the first thing I tell our clients, that we do everything manually. We will never have a mistake on my team where a post that was scheduled goes live after a national tragedy and people forgot about it. Like, there are a few guarantees you can make, especially in the business of, you know, the internet. But the guarantee I make to my clients always is that there's always a person behind the keyboard watching your stuff and making sure that everything goes well.
I think that's a huge difference from the normal sort of talk about social media. And I'm going to admit right up front, and I can get away with this a little bit because I'm not doing social media marketing for clients, but as much as I can for my own personal stuff, I try to schedule out in advance and use sort of these automated tools, but that sort of works for me because social media isn't my thing. But it's surprising how much, even for people who social media is their main thing, they're still going and they're automating and doing all that kind of stuff. And I guess that's certainly not an invalid approach, but I love that your focus on, you know, we are going to be held accountable for everything that goes out, so we are going to keep it as close to us as possible. I love that.
Exactly. It's the same approach we have, though, to doing, you know, SEO or SEM for a client, too, is we're not like set it and forget it people. We every single day. So I run the Facebook ads and promoted tweets for, you know, most of our clients as well. That's something that my team does. And we check in on those every single day, several times a day, to make sure that they're performing well. There's accountability. Our whole business is built upon measurement and tangible business results for our clients. And I don't think that's possible to do if you just automate everything and kind of step away.
So with that kind of stuff, how are you making sure that you're accountable? Are you plugged into your clients, into their sales systems? Or how do you check to make sure that what you're doing is actually effective?
Mm-hmm. That's the kind of thing, I mean, I'd like to be more consistent on, but it's not really on us. It's totally up to how the client works. For our largest account, we're very, very plugged into the sales cycle. We know what percentage of their total revenue came from digital and then, you know, from social from there. We know exactly what their targets are monthly for, you know, making revenue, and we know how we're influencing that. So that's a very, very close relationship where we really couldn't have any more information about how that works and our place in it. So that's one. And I think as a result of that, you know, they're our largest client and they're also the ones that we have the most success with because we're so plugged in and know exactly what's going on. And then we have some clients where, you know, I don't even know what they consider their cost per lead to be, you know, in any of their marketing. So, you know, if it costs me $300 to get them a qualified lead through Twitter, you know, promoted tweets, and their lead generation cards, I don't know if that's good or bad. And that's just not information, because it's usually not information at that level that my client even has, because they might be a lower marketing person within the organization. So it varies. It's up to us to make sure the client's happy, and the client's happy when, you know, their bosses like them for achieving whatever goals or KPIs have been set out in front of them. So it can often be a moving target, but for us, it's just making sure whatever that target is, we have a system in place to make sure we're getting closer and closer to it all the time.
Awesome.
So and that actually gets to the other spreadsheet that I didn't tell you about, is that, and this is one, honestly, and I think this is why most people do it, because it's the most aggressively boring task you can have, where we go through for most of our clients. We have much smaller budgets for some of our clients, and since this is such a huge time consuming thing, it doesn't get done for all of them. But for our larger clients, every single thing we post, we record the engagement on, and excuse me, so that's just in a big spreadsheet as well. So we can go back a year ago and tell you, you know, the post that went on Facebook at 2 p.m. on Monday, you know, last November, mm-hmm. I can tell you how many likes and shares and comments it had and how much traffic it drove to the website. That's the kind of thing that's really important, because once you have that, then you can start, you know, actually sorting that data and find out really useful things about time of day that's most successful, what type of post it was, like what type of content it was. You can do things like, you know, over a year's time, do posts that got mostly comments end up having lots of referrals, or is it posts that are shared a lot end up with more referrals, stuff like that, that you need data for.
That's awesome. one question that I have now, what are, so I am a social, or I want to get into social media, or I have some social media accounts that I want to do more with. What are the three, either the documents or the tools? What should I do above anything else? And sort of ignoring the other stuff that we've talked about, you know, having goals and all that kind of stuff is important. But I'm curious right now, strictly about the tools and the processes. What would you recommend somebody do?
The first step is you shouldn't be doing social media unless you also have access to the Google Analytics for the website. You'd be surprised, or perhaps even not surprised, and that might be worse, about how many people do social media and don't have analytics access. So can't even find out if their posts are referring traffic and can't find out what the conversion rate for that traffic is. And then, okay, and then you say that, and they're like, well, we don't even have conversion goals set up in Google Analytics. You're like, all right, this is, you've got a, it might not be a bigger problem, but it's a problem that's very different from just social media. So that would be at number one. Before you start anything, make sure that you've got, you know, a line into the Google Analytics so you can find it if you're actually sending traffic that's worthwhile. The other documents that are worthwhile to have is record engagement. You don't have to do it as, you know, robustly as we do, but just making sure that you're recording things like, do posts that are more casual drive more traffic, or the ones that have, you know, a one great photo with, you know, just a link. Does that drive traffic? If you're not recording this stuff, a year will pass. Nothing will have changed and you'll be, you know, angry that you didn't know what went wrong. You just have to record these numbers, and most people don't do it because it's hard and it's boring. But, you know, it's your job. Mm-hmm. Not everything is great. And I can assure you that at the end of the day, when the client's super happy and they want to increase your budget and they want you to do so much more cool, exciting stuff, it'll be worthwhile. I mean, at the end of the day, it's your job, and your job should be to grow the business. And if you're not doing that, then you're probably wasting everyone's time. So I would even leave it at two. The top two things you need to do is get access to Google Analytics and record how your posts are going. And then you're golden from there. Just build from there.
Awesome. That's such great advice. And certainly we can break this down in more detail and maybe even share some samples and things like that on the website, our website, that is, in the future.
Sounds good.
Cool. So we're just about to 20 minutes or getting close to there. So I think this is probably as good a place as any to wrap up. Let's see. We're on Twitter, twitter.com/NarjCast, NARJCast. We've got a website, notarealjob.com. I've been making some subtle design tweaks and changes to it over the past couple weeks. Just when I have a few minutes here or there. So check it out. Let me know what you think. And especially by converting, so that way I can tell if my changes are working or not.
Yeah.
Anything else I'm forgetting?
No, I think that's it. So stay tuned for next week's episode, which we are going to record right now.
Awesome. Tell your friends about the show. All right. See you next week.
Bye, everybody.